Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting stuff in the update there. The Messi thing continues on, right, as he continues to score. It's an interesting product, that MLS thing, man. He is obviously by far and away the best player in that league, and he continues to score. As made a little bit of history there. Pretty cool cool story with Messi. Dan, we obviously have a lot of stuff to get to this morning, but I got to start with this. I'm listening driving in. The Pat Boyle show it's on right before us here, and they start taking calls the last segment of the show, and some guy calls in, and he was all riled up, and, you know, college kids should be happy with their scholarship. They don't need to get paid anything. And the caller went on, by the way, this is one of the all-time hot takes. He went on to say that that they should be using the money that they gave. I think he said it was a Texas Tech softball pitcher or something that made $1 million. He goes, they should take the $1 million and they should buy, you know, pay for everyone's books on campus. And, you know, they, because it was supposed to be for just enough money so the kids could eat or whatever. And he goes, why don't you buy food for all the kids on campus then, instead of just giving it to this one person? The takes from some people are utterly bizarre, obviously. Like, it is some weird stuff people say, but we're not going backwards in this whole college football thing, this college athletics thing. We're not going backwards. We've discussed that. It's not going to stop. It's not going to change. And I got to say, anyone like you, you got to be like, what, 70 years old at this point, but it's some sort of fossil to think that, like, these guys should not get any share, any piece of the pie. Well, we got Omar with us here now. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
I'm well, Omar. Good to have you here with us. I was listening driving in, and they had some old man call in, and he was rambling about how, you know, the scholarship is enough for these kids, and they, you know, if they can go pro, they should go pro, and why are we paying college kids? And I just thought it was kind of funny, though, because, like, they take calls and people have these off the wall takes, and I know you get hit by a lot of stuff on the social media and whatnot, yeah. Omar. But what do we do when we got callers talking about, like, the kids, the scholarship is enough now that we're in 2025 here?
Yeah, I've been a main advocate for players to be paid and compensated for their services over the years, going back to when I covered the Hurricanes, which last was 2007. But what I didn't expect is the cat would be out the bag, and it would be what it's become. I mean, this is unreal. This is the Wild Wild West. And even though the NCAA is now going to pay schools lump sum monies that they can distribute to players, I'm not necessarily certain that it's going to make it any better.
Yeah,
but I also don't know what my issue is or what the fix is. So let me put that out there.
Nobody knows what the fix is. That's the problem. And now we got these media days going on, and I just, everyone has an opinion on this different stuff. And I know Deion Sanders is stealing the headlines from Big 12 Media Day, which is, like, obviously anything Deion says is going to be controversial. And I saw that he got in a fight with a writer from The Athletic or something, and want to answer a question from those guys, and then he's talking about how, you know, unbalanced, unfair it is that that the same schools are in it every year, Omar. They're it's the same ones, the ones with the most money are going to be at the top. And it's like, well, you know, that was the case before kids were getting paid. It was the schools that made the most money, the conferences that made the most money. Like, this is not new. It was always the same teams. Right, it was Alabama then, and it's Alabama now. I mean, it was always, you know, Georgia is always those teams of the top, you know, teams in the SEC were always going to be, and the Big Ten, right? I don't remember a lot of years in college football where we were talking about the Big Ten and the SEC had nobody in the hunt for the national championship.
I love Mario Cristobal's approach to this, which is, it's been going on all the while. It's just now on top of the table instead of under the table. You know, we just got to figure it out. And that's truly what it is. This is, you know, there have been years where players were given, you know, book bags full of money, or you know, your aunt, a car has been bought in your uncle's name or in your girlfriend's name. This is just legal right now, and on top of the table. The question is, how do you address it, and how do you get it balanced, and how do you, you know, my biggest issue right now is kids being able to transfer every year mm-hmm. at every point. And to the highest bidder, you know, to me, okay, 2-year contracts and they're binding. And after those binding contracts, then maybe you could figure out and re-enter the bidding pool.
Binding also becomes dicey though, doesn't it? And I'm with you, by the way. I like the idea of contracts. I like the idea of making the kids employees of the school. I think it makes it a little bit cleaner, but I don't know, man. I think good luck enforcing those, right? Because you don't want to be the first school to sue a kid over Ooh. Breach of contract.
Wasn't there somebody suing a University of Miami kid over breach of contract?
They're suing the school. They're suing the University of Miami.
Wisconsin decided it was a bad look to sue a 19-year-old kid whose dad was sick down here in South Florida, so they decided just to sue Miami for tampering.
Yeah, who wants to be the first university to, like, all right, we're going to take this kid to court, and we're going to force him to play for us, or we're going to take mm-hmm. his money. Like, I don't know who wants to be the first one to do that, because the first one that does it is going to be the first school that kids are like, I'm not going to that school. They sue everyone. Probably be Florida State, because they seem to be very litigious over there. But, you know, Omar, I just don't know who wants to be the first one to do that. I know a contract's a contract. I get you. I get you. But I promise you, if they start signing kids to 2-year deals, someone will break it.
Yeah,
someone will see Jimmy Butler's you know fine work that he did, and they'll be like, oh, I could do that too.
It's crazy, but you know, I and that's the thing. This is like the perfect storm, because all of a sudden the transfer rules, which I thought were ridiculous and stupid, got thrown out, and then it just made that situation horrible, and then compensation and player likeness, which I felt needed to go down. You know, legally, all of these things happened at the same time, and it's just created the Wild Wild West. And my fear is that the sport will price itself out of the average fan, because somebody's going to be paying the tab for these teams and these schools. And I don't, you know, at some point, as we know in professional sports, the price transfers over to the player. I mean, to the consumer.
Well, that's an interesting part of it too. But like Texas says, just limited to one transfer unless there's a head coach change. I just don't know how you do these things, because again, you don't want to be the first school to start suing, you know, 19-year-old kid because he's like, I don't want to be here anymore, or you know. But it does set a bad. This whole thing sets a bad precedent. We're seeing it bleed over into professional sports. There's no question about that either, Omar.
It's absolutely.
We're going to have guys that, you know, look, we had it in the NBA draft, right? The guy who looked like he was going to be one of the top couple of picks in the draft ends up falling a few spots.
Into Utah.
Yeah, and Danny Ainge is, Utah's he's a lunatic. I kind of like his approach, but he's like, you know what, you're the best player available. You're coming to play here. And if you don't want to play, then go sit, I guess. But, like, the guy had a list of teams that he didn't want to go to. And I think, you know, clearly that guy was getting very, very bad information from his agent. I don't know if you followed the background of Ace Bailey's agent, if you saw any of, like, his deals, Omar. But he had some trouble, you know, back in the day, it looked like. And I don't know that he was even necessarily like a real agent, but he got some really, really bad advice going into that draft to like basically say, like, I don't want to play at these places.
Yeah,
you cost yourself a bunch of money, number one, and number two, one of those teams said, screw you, we're gonna take you anyway.
Yeah, I respect him for trying to control his destination.
Come on.
Oh,
that's a Florio thing, by the way. You know, if you ever heard Florio's take on the draft, the NFL draft, and he's like, he hates the draft, and he thinks players should be able to choose where they want to go. He's been on that for years.
It's important from the standpoint you don't want to end up with a bad organization and you don't want to end up in a place that you know you want to be get out of. Utah, come on, that kid's a prisoner there for and he's going to be on the first thing smoking if he can keep his nose clean and be productive. I mean, they've got no chance to sign him.
Well, I wouldn't go that far though, because now in the NBA you can give your guys a whole heck of a lot more money. Did you see that contract, that extension they just gave Chet Holmgren in OKC? OKC's locking up all their guys. That's a big difference maker, man. You make a lot more money now. To be quite honest, Omar, I don't know what his situation is financially, but I don't get guys, you know, missing out on money in the draft because they feel some sort of way about these different cities. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
Draft money is minuscule to what you'll get on your second deal.
Yeah, but that's if you get a second deal, man. That's if you get a second deal. You don't want to miss out on money in the first deal. Who knows? You never know what's going to happen, Omar. This guy could, you know, could be an injury issue or something, and he never That's ends true. Up, you know, panning out. Just because you're a top pick in the draft doesn't mean you're going to pan out. I mean, we see how many – we were talking the other day, Ben Simmons, Markel Fultz, top picks in the draft that just ended up being, ended up robbing a lot of teams for money.
Those are rare instances. Majority of the time, these players, especially in the NBA, pan out. It's not like the NFL.
I don't have a percentage in front of me, but I don't know that I would agree with you on that. That, you know, all these guys always, you know, end up panning out. But either way, like, I just don't get the whole notion of like, let's try to you know tank my own draft stock here by, you know, saying, oh, I don't want to go to these places. How well do you think that kid knew what was going on in Philly and Utah? I'm guessing he gets an outside view of it like everyone else does. But
no, it's no secret. Quality of life.
But you could be, man, that's why this OKC thing is funny. Like, you know, you talk about quality of life. You act like these places are so bad. Like, you can't you don't get to choose. Like, in that line of work, you don't get to choose where you live. But you get compensated very, very well for your services. We just had a guy in the NBA, Omar, Devin Booker, who is getting very close. We're getting really, really close now to $1 million a game. He's going to be making 70-something million dollars a year. And with the amount of games that he's going to play, because nobody plays the full season, he may very well make $1 million every single time he laces him up and goes out there to play.
Wow.
That's where we're at in the NBA.
Yeah.
$145 million extension over 2 years he's going to make.
And more than likely, he will be in control of wherever he ends up playing because the contract's so big. Maybe he's got a no-trade clause. And, man, Utah, come on. That's like sending a kid to Siberia.
Oh, man, come on. Utah's nice. They got nice skiing out there, Omar, from what I hear. Chet Holmgren, by the way, that's a 5-year rookie max at $250 million. So that second contract is very lucrative if you make it to the second contract. If, you know, and then look, how many of these guys out there, too, are going to make it to a max contract? That's the other thing. Like, Chet Holmgren is part of their core in OKC, which amazingly they've been able to keep together. But I think the days of these big market teams being dominant, those days might be dwindling here, Omar, because these contracts are too lucrative, I think, for teams to pass up. I just don't see a scenario where these teams or these players don't sign these contracts because, like, I just hate this city. I got to be somewhere else.
Yeah, the first round pick, Cooper Flagg, makes $13.8 million. Like, bro, I'm not concerned. I'm trying to control my destiny. I'm trying to end up where I want to play. I'm not worried about my $13.8 million. That's peanuts compared to what I can make when I actually am good.
All right. Well, Omar, I am very excited that you are here because I do want to get to this Dolphins stuff with you. And we've been hitting on it all week. And the Dolphins have become quite a punching bag here for the national media.
Yeah.
But I do want to get to this Asante Samuel thing. I just want to get your take on it.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Here, I want to just jump right into this with you. This soundbite here. Asante Samuel Sr. Had his thought. Everyone's weighing in on the Dolphins these days. And
absolutely.
Their function, their dysfunction, whatever you want to call what's going on over there in Miami Gardens. Asante Samuel Sr. had this to say about the Miami Dolphins.
Dolphins had no reason to trade Jalen Ramsey other than they're sensitive. There's no leadership in the Dolphins organization. Mike McDaniels is a pushover. Chris Greer, the general manager, he has no backbone. These guys over here, the Miami Dolphins, they are running this team like a little league team. No one can stand up to the players. They're terrified of their own players, and they have no control over their players.
There you go. That was Asante Samuel Sr. On his podcast. The first part of this that I think is kind of funny, I was talking to Joe yesterday about this too, and it's like, isn't his kid trying to get with the Dolphins at some point here? Perhaps Omar. I don't know. Maybe that ship has sailed, but it doesn't seem like a great idea to start taking a blowtorch to the team.
One, I know Asante from my I Am Athlete tenure in work.
Senior, junior.
Senior.
Okay.
And I will let you know, one, he's a great cornerback. I think he's worthy of the Hall of Fame. He's got 50 interceptions. Like, how do you not have a cornerback in the Hall of Fame with 50 interceptions? Now, he's very opinionated and has very strong opinions, and he wants to get into the media game, and I respect that. Now, his relationship with his son isn't the best, so half the time I don't even think they're speaking. It's a very contentious father son relationship where dad's got all these opinions, and you're a 24-year-old young man. You don't want to hear any of that, even though you're trying to do what dad once did. So that's one thing on top. So I don't think that has anything to do with Asante Jr. Now, in terms of the opinion that
I don't think it helps though, Omar.
It doesn't help, but Chris Greer is a big boy. If the talent is there and the contract makes sense, I think they're going to do it. I've never felt like Asante Jr. was going to be the right fit for Miami to begin with, so I just don't know if that would be the logical choice for them. But with that said, do understand that Asante has connections to the Miami Dolphins organization from past players. And has always had it. So I've been around players, and Asante's been around there, and we've had some conversations. And so he's aware of where the Miami Dolphins are and what the organization is like. Because keep in mind, he's a South Florida guy. He's here. He probably trains the same place where a lot of guys train. But what statement did he make that wasn't really true or wasn't what the fan base is talking about or assuming? Let's take them blow by blow. Let's take them statement by statement.
Okay, go ahead.
Jalen Ramsey is probably the only one that bullied the Miami Dolphins, and that's a fact. That's part of he had to move on. He had to get rid of him. We had to unload him. And keep in mind, that wasn't a painless unloading, because you're going to eat $18.5 million in cap hit over the next 2 years. That is a substantial loss. That's about the equivalent of 5 starting players. I'm not joking. Yeah. That's in cap space.
But like, to go back to what he was saying though, like you had to, the Dolphins had to trade Jalen Ramsey. Like there was, I didn't, unless you think there was a way to work it out. And I know it kind of got comical at the end where they were like, oh, Tyreek is going to go meet with him or whatever. Like, I don't think there was any smoothing that thing over, man. And you know me, Omar, I'm big on trying to mend these relationships here and fix things. I wanted to fix the Jimmy Butler thing. I wanted them to hug that one out. I wanted the Jalen Ramsey thing. I just, you know, I thought he was too good of a player to just dump.
Yeah.
And I did think, and I don't even know if you and I have spoken since the trade went down with Ramsey, but I thought that the Dolphins ended up winning that trade, to be quite honest. I thought they got they did pretty well given the circumstances, right? You had a guy in Jalen Ramsey, it was just not going to happen. It was not going to work out. And you end up, you know, Jonnu Smith, obviously you didn't want to pay him what he wanted. But you still got a player back in that deal. Now, that could have gone really sideways if the Dolphins would have traded Jalen right when he said he was pissed off. And, you know, let's take the first fifth-round pick that someone offers us. And then they could have done the same thing. Jonnu probably would have been worth about the same, right? A mid-late round pick, whatever.
Yeah.
And they ended up getting a really good player back. So I think they actually, you know, They did well given the circumstances.
I mean, now, given the circumstances, you were giving away Jalen Ramsey to somebody who was going to take his contract, and then they were shaking you down for how much money you're going to pay on it, which the Dolphins ultimately ended up paying $7 million of his contract. So,
but the circumstances is something that you created, though. That's the issue, right? You gave Jalen Ramsey all that money. You should have known then that this is his deal and he doesn't like being here or he's angry or whatever it is that was that was wrong with him.
He liked being here. He's just a mercenary. He's Jalen.
But he was getting paid, though, so I don't buy the mercenary thing. He got his money, Omar. He got paid.
Yeah, but
so I don't know where it went. I don't know. Do you know where it went sideways with him, like, or what the truth is? Because Chris came out and said one thing about, you know, essentially put the blame on the Dolphins and was like, we don't want him here.
Mm-hmm.
And
Jalen
had come out, or whoever came out on Jalen's behalf, and said that it was kind of a mutual whatever.
Yeah, no.
So I don't know what the truth to this story is. I don't know when we'll find out. I'm guessing Jalen Ramsey at some point will hit a podcast and take an absolute blowtorch to the Miami Dolphins organization.
I don't think so. I will tell you this. It was a mutual decision. Mainly, Miami felt like they could not keep Jalen and fix the culture. If Mike had to give himself a chance to succeed this season, they had to get rid of Jalen. And I hate saying the term get rid of Jalen, but they had to move Jalen in order to fix the culture. So Mike did was it in his best interest. Now, does it make his team better? No, but his players, and this is the part that's a little bit hard for me to digest, but his players told him that this is what we have to do in order to fix the culture issue that we have. So,
wait.
Yeah.
His players told him?
Yep.
You say that with such confidence. I hope that's not true. I really we're talking about fixing the culture. That to me screams culture issues in a major, major way, man.
What culture issues that the players?
I know you've been big on this, by the way, for a long time.
Oh,
with this thing.
You know, I still believe that.
I know
Mike McDaniel is going to have a player driven team, and they're still.
I know you've been big on that.
He's fully committed to that, and nothing has changed. And even people, Zach Thomas was on with Hockman and Crowder, and he talked about, hey, players have to be the people that drive the culture. And it's true. I fully believe that. Most people, it's like, okay, the coach can lay the foundation, but the players have to be the one that police the team and they drive the culture. And that Mike firmly believes in that. He's not going to change. He does not believe that he made a mistake last year. Just what happened in the circumstances where it turned out to be a bad situation for him. And when I say bad situation, understand that they were still a win and a Denver loss for making it to the playoffs last year. And they rebounded from some horrible circumstances and situations. And the players are the ones that kept it together. Now, you know, was it a great season? Absolutely not. But you had to go through so much adversity, so many challenges, so many injuries. You know, they had some losing streaks in the stretch, losing Tua. Somehow they found a way to make the season relevant at the end of the year. That props to them.
But here's the thing, though. And I get you're trying to spin it that they were close to the playoffs and, you know, and they made it relevant, whatever. Omar, that was a rough season, man. By all accounts, I don't, you know, there's no positive way to spin that season. Thing was a mess. By the way, the backup quarterback thing was your own. That was your own fault.
Yes.
Like these things are your own fault. There's going to be injuries, and there's definitely going to be injuries when it comes to your quarterback. I don't know if he's going to be able to go 17 games this season. And we keep sitting here, you know, every day, and it's like, well, you know, the Dolphins, can they get to double-digit wins? And it's like, well, if Tua can stay healthy and play 17 games, and that's the big storyline around this team now.
Absolutely, no question, and it should be the big storyline. Can you keep Tua healthy, and can he play 17 games? Can you guarantee me that Josh Allen's going to be playing 17 games this season?
No, but I can guarantee you that this morning in Buffalo, they're not talking about, boy, man, if we could, Josh Allen could just stay healthy, we could turn the corner as a franchise. They're not talking in Kansas City this morning.
What about Lamar
boy,
Jackson?
Man, if that Patrick Mahomes can just find a way to stay healthy, if we can keep him on the field, we're going to have a shot. They're not talking about that in those markets.
Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson. Now, give me the player that you can guarantee is going to be able to play.
You can't guarantee anyone in any sport, okay. Omar. I don't care if it's golf. You can't guarantee that a guy's going to stay healthy.
But you got a better chance
if you're one of those people that you just named. I'd feel a whole hell of a lot better if the Dolphins were rolling out Lamar Jackson, that he was going to stay healthy, you know, but you're taking a few hits than the guy that we have. So I don't think that that's necessarily a very good example, because in any spot, again, you could be out there playing golf and you could tear your back apart. You know, you could go like Tiger or something, but yeah, that's any sport. But we're in a unique situation in this market where we're like, if our quarterback can stay healthy, then we might have a shot to win double-digit games, and we might have a shot to finally win a playoff game. And
what? Insert the team where that statement doesn't apply to.
It applies to every team, but the difference is those other markets, I can promise you, are not having that conversation this morning. I don't know that there's much else they talk about in Buffalo outside of the Bills. I've never been to Buffalo. I probably never will go to Buffalo. But I'm guessing. Yeah. I know that they have a hockey team up there too, right? Do they have the Sabres? Yeah. I am guessing they spend a lot of their time in the morning talking about their football team. Yes. And their football team is also trying to get over the...
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Hump. A different hump than we're trying to get over.
Absolutely.
A far different one, right? They're trying to get past the Chiefs and make it to a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl, and they feel like they can, and they can, right? I mean, the Buffalo Bills are a team that can win the Super Bowl. The Ravens are a team that can win the Super Bowl. Hell, the Bengals, if they put enough around Joe Burrow, can probably win a Super Bowl. He got them there once, so I don't see why that's, you know, so far-fetched, but nevertheless... Those teams are talking about how do we win a Super Bowl. We're not having that conversation here this morning. And it was funny because I was talking about this with Joe last week when he was here. And I go, man, Joe, I look through this thing and I see so many teams that on their morning shows, they're probably talking about, boy, if this, and this falls in place, we got a chance to win a Super Bowl. In our market, it's like, well, if all these things happen, you know, if the offensive line is improved, if Tua stays healthy, if Tyreek gets back to being Tyreek, boy, we might have a shot at the wild card.
It's just a
much different approach that you have to have here, and that's, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's where we're at.
I disagree with you from this standpoint. I don't think there's much different from the 2023 Dolphins compared to any of those teams that you were saying you're talking about. That 2023 Dolphins was the hottest team in the NFL, and then they bottomed out because they just took on a ton of injuries. Now, that happens in the NFL. Hell, it happened to Detroit last year. But the question is, can you get that hot again? Can you rebuild it? Can you sustain that kind of success? Can you create that kind of momentum? with Tua, you have a chance. With Tyreek, you chance have a chance.
A chance of what? To make a chance wild, of getting, to get a wild card and win a playoff game?
Chance of winning double-digit games getting hot.
Okay. But here's the other thing, though,
they were a Tennessee win away from winning the AFC East.
I believe that Mike's offense has gotten stale. I think that teams have figured it out. I think the gimmicky stuff is not working anymore. And clearly teams have been able to figure out how to stop this Dolphins team because they keep complaining about it, that too deep thing and all that. They keep complaining about it. And, you know, look, the reality is this. The reality, too, is very simple. If the offensive line isn't dramatically improved and you can't figure out how to run the football a little bit, I mean, they were running for negative plays way too many times last year. If you can't figure out a way to at least have a respectable running game, correct, then you're not going to be able to throw deep to these guys regardless, right? Because you're not going to have any time. Teams are going to tee off on Tua. And I'm guessing, Omar, I'm guessing that there's D coordinators and coaches and whatever that are going to game plan for the Dolphins, and they're going to say to themselves, we can put a lot of pressure on this quarterback because this offensive line is not tested. We certainly don't know how good they're going to hold up.
Oh, you could go ahead and pressure quarterback, and he'll carve you apart. That's the type of quarterback you have.
Tua didn't carve anyone apart last year, though. And that's because the offensive line was so bad. And look, in fairness to Tua, I don't care who you would have thrown back there to play quarterback. That offensive line was so bad, it wasn't going to make a difference. So that's the one pass I give to Tua. But, Omar, I think this whole season, to me, really hinges on that offensive line being a whole heck of a lot better than it was a year ago.
No, I don't disagree with you. And the run game and the protection, yeah, that to me, that's the Achilles heel for the team. And we'll be clear, we'll have an indicator of whether or not they've improved based on, you know, where James Daniel is and where Austin Jackson is and how Patrick Paul plays. And to be honest with you, how Jonah plays as a rookie starter. I don't have that answer for us right now. So depth-wise, it's a little bit concerning. But I will tell you, I don't think the Dolphins are that far off. I think they've got talent. They have some problem areas. Absolutely. The secondary is a problem area. But you have to, you know, every team has a problem area. Every team has an issue. And the question is, do you have what it takes to continue to progress as the season takes place and get better?
And then one other thing, I just want to get to two of the comments from Samuel there, Asante Samuel Sr., and he really went in on Mike, too. And Mike has become a punching bag as well for a lot of people here. And I find a lot of that to be unfair, Omar. I really, truly do find a lot of that stuff to be unfair. I don't believe that Mike is not a good leader. I just think that he took an approach where he's like, you know what? You guys are professionals. You're making a ton of money. You guys are the best at what you do at your craft. I'm going to give you some freedom to operate here, and I'm not going to be, you know, the Don Shula type, you know, head coach and jump on you guys at all times. And I just think he gave these guys a lot of leeway to be pros, and they just kind of dumped all over him. And I think they took his kindness for weakness and took advantage of him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people are seeing and reacting to. I think Mike, and again, this is just going by what I saw in Hard Knocks, he can get in front of a team he doesn't sound like Joe Philbin when he gets in front of a team, right? I mean, the guy doesn't. No. He sounds like a leader of men when he gets in front of a team. So I just don't think I think it's almost lazy to continue to say those things about Mike.
It's not true. It's not a pushover. Now, Mike has a different approach in terms of player empowerment. And I think in this new NIL culture of sports where these athletes have pretty much all the power, I think that this is the right approach to take. You know that. Mm-hmm. I said it to you last year.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right.
It's dangerous, yeah. But you got to have the right kind of leaders. Got to have the right kind of leaders to make it work. And that's what Mike and the team have been focused on. Empowering the right kind of leaders, and we'll see how it plays out.
And the other part too, I really do agree with the culture change in all of sports, right? And it's just a certain way that you can deal with guys, that you can talk to guys, that they're going to respond to. And you and I don't make the rules, Omar, and everyone always, you know, they text in how soft and everything is and this and that, and it's like, well, you know what, we didn't make the new rules of the society, but this is the reality. Guys are going to be very pampered by the time they get through high school, right? And you see it in high school. Guys are transferring schools. They're getting agents. They're getting paid. Then they get to college. They get paid even more. Then they get to the pros, and there's, you know, well, I shouldn't even say them. There's more, because a lot of these guys, what they're making in college could as good as what they're making as pros, if not better in the college game. So you get these guys that get drafted to a team and they're making the same amount of money or whatever, and they've played on four different college teams because they've opened themselves up to free agency every single year. Which, if you're a college kid, why wouldn't you do that, right? If you have a good season, why, or any kind of season, why wouldn't you say, hey, my services are available to the highest bidder? You're allowed to do it. Why wouldn't you? That'd be the advice. If I was an agent, Omar, that'd be the advice I'd be giving a kid right now. I'd say, hey, you know what? Go take the money. Go find out who's willing to pay you more.
Absolutely.
But you can't do that in the NFL. You can't do that in professional sports. And well, and we had someone text this in earlier, and they were talking about, like, you know, Jimmy Butler, because we talk about Jimmy too, and they're like, Jimmy was under contract. Jalen was under contract. Yeah, these guys are under contract, but you can only go so far with forcing guys to play. It just doesn't work, as we saw with Jimmy Butler. Was the best example, I think, out of anything, right? He essentially said that he wanted his money, and they didn't give me my money. I'm not happy anymore. I lost my joy, and this is what I'm going to do to show you that. And I lost my joy. It got ugly, man. It got ugly. And guys can do this. And Jimmy Butler can teach the class. Jimmy Butler can be a college professor when this is done, and he can teach the class
how to force your way out.
How to take a blowtorch to a class organization like the Miami Heat and force your way out. And the Heat got fleeced on that whole deal, man. They got fleeced. It was mishandled the same way the Jalen Ramsey thing, in my view, was mishandled. And that thing should never have gotten these both of those things, the Jimmy Butler thing, the Jalen Ramsey thing, they should have never reached a point where you essentially had a gun to your head to trade the guy.
I think it was unpreventable, to be honest with you. And I think both situations are unpreventable.
The Jimmy Butler situation was not unpreventable. All the Heat had to do was make a decision before the season started. We either want to pay this guy or we don't want to pay this guy. The Miami Dolphins made the decision they wanted to pay Jalen Ramsey. They gave him exactly what he wanted, and he still was a disaster. So that situation's even more bizarre, because you gave him exactly what he wanted.
I don't think it was a disaster, number one. Jalen would have come and tried to shake you down for more guaranteed money this year. It is what it is. You get in bed with a mercenary, you're gonna have to. He is a mercenary. He's an NFL mercenary. This generation's Ndamukong Suh. Jalen is gonna want his money, and he's gonna want control. And that's the Dolphins were tired of putting him in that situation, or putting themselves in that situation.
All right. So just to summarize here, what your main takeaway? So Asante Samuel Sr. crushes the team. We've played sound from Tom Pelissero, who weighed in, and, you know, if this doesn't go well, this guy's fired and this guy's out. And Mike Florio has been teeing off on the Dolphins for weeks now. Florio's been really, really dumping on them. You talk about a guy who's like, and he goes, this starts at the top with the Dolphins. Where do you stand, Omar? And we'll close it out with this. Where do you stand on all this national criticism that the Dolphins are getting? And mind you, these are not people that cover this team on a regular basis like you do.
This is low-hanging fruit for the two-week period where everything is dead and nobody's talking about anything. Hasn't Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel began the offseason in January on the hot seat? Aren't they and the New York Giants, aren't those the two organizations where their leadership are both on the hot seat? What's a surprise now? What's relevant now? We all know this. We've watched the offseason play out, knowing that, hey, these guys got to win or else they're going to be whacked. I don't think anything has changed. It's just people need something to talk about now, and I guess maybe because of the trades, it's relevant. Now, Asante Samuels, okay, there's nothing that he said that isn't accurate. Now, has some level of accuracy.
Well, the Mike McDaniel stuff, I think we agreed, wasn't all that fair.
You could still say that Mike McDaniel's a pushover. You could still say that.
He's not. I don't subscribe to that, though. I just don't. Why? Because he's not screaming and yelling, and he's not he's not Dan Campbell. I mean, come on.
From the outside looking in, you could say he's not going to yell at you. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to fire and brimstone kind of leader. He's more of like, you know, let you do your own thing. There's some truth to that, and I think that that's, you know, you got to become more direct. And I mean, there's truth to it. There's truth to everything that Asante said. But here's the thing. Nobody in this fan base is surprised by what he said, because we've sat and talked about it for an entire offseason. Like, is it just that somebody else put our business out there? Like, Chris Greer, you know, Chris Greer's got to have some conviction. I think his boss has told him that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's none of these things are surprising. And here's the thing, that from my standpoint, none of them are going to prevent you from having a good season. What you have to do is you've got to get those players to rally around one another. You've got to get them to develop chemistry, and you've got to get your star players, primarily Tua Tagovailoa, to be healthy and be productive. And then you'll have a winning season. Then you could possibly save everybody's job. If not, you know, we scorch earth.
Well, we can obviously hope, Omar. That's what we do here. We sell hope, apparently.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.